Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service, the only opportunity offered to the broader community to be informed on the issues and current affairs from a First Nations perspective. This is Karen Durante and Beau Spearham with Let's Talk.
Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk. Before I go on any further, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners on whose land we are broadcasting from. I also would like to pay my respects to our elders and also our elders of more recent arrival. And a good morning to everybody around the continent that is taking our program via the National Indigenous Radio Service NIRS or listening via our app, which is 98.9 FM for the best country, which you can get from most app stores, or listening via our website, which is 98.9fm.com.au. Those platforms beaming us into your communities, and it is always great to have your company. I'm joined in the studio live this morning by Sono Leone, who has an event on tomorrow morning, or tomorrow evening, I should say, Wesley House Rooftop in Brisbane in Ann Street. So we're going to have a yarn about this art exhibition that is coming up. But before that there, sis, could you tell us your name, your mob, and where you're from?
Sure. My name's Sono Leone. I'm a descendant of the Garawa and Butchala Nations, and I'm born and bred in Brisbane on Turrbal country.
Deadly, deadly. Thank you, sis. You grew up here in Brisbane? Spent your whole life in Brisbane?
Yeah.
What was it like for you growing up?
Between here and Harvey Bay.
Between here and Harvey Bay?
Yeah.
Okay, deadly, cool.
Most of my teenage years and that and the bay and just back and forth, really, and then more of my... when I had children, just started, settled back down in Brisbane, really.
Yeah, deadly. And you're part of an organisation, Strong Women Talking. Could you tell us a bit about that, please?
Sure. Strong Women Talking is an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders corporation. We're a domestic violence prevention organisation, so we're solely focused on the prevention of violence in our communities. We recently got charitable status, so we became charitable and tax deductible gift recipients. So that was a really good feat for us. So just a grassroots organisation of women coming together in community with the same and aunties. We've got a lot of support from our aunties. Coming together to end the cycle of violence.
And you have an art exhibition coming up tomorrow. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Sure. So within our workshops, so we, in Strong Women Talking, one of our main things that we do or programs that we run is the healing journey. And we run that over a course of 8 weeks during school terms. And some of the things that we do in there is the women do artwork or they do different sorts of activities, healing sort of activities within the workshop. And we're going to be showcasing pretty much the artworks and the things that they've created from the workshops and from our women's group at this art exhibition. So,
And how long has Strong Women Talking been going for now?
Yep, so we've been around since 2015, but we've been registered as a corporation, so registered as a, corporation and entity since 2017.
That's good. And how important is the work that you're doing in the community with supporting sisters, aunties and all that there as well?
Yeah, really, really important. As I said, like our aim is to break the cycle of violence in our communities. So it's really about breaking down those stigmas of not being able to talk about violence. Just our women go through a lot in community, and sometimes, you know, it's something that's so normalised, like we witness it so often growing up within, you know, different...
Social settings,
yeah. So just to be able to create a safe space, that's what we're about, like being able to create a cultural safe space for our women to come in, yarn, feel safe, but learn and grow together. So we learn about the forms of abuse. That's what we teach the women, the cycle of violence. We do an in-classroom sort of setting, and then we do an on-country setting as well.
So, deadly. And, yeah, I guess, you know, me being a male, a bloke, I guess my understanding of different forms of violence will be very, very different, I guess, from women. Or I guess sort of understanding what is the forms of violence and what are those forms of violence.
Yeah.
Because I guess the first thought would be obviously hitting, but then also, you know, wanting to know where your partner is all the time, or sort of wanting to, you know, like that's obviously a form of violence as well. Like, what are the many different forms of, like, domestic violence, I guess?
Yeah, some of the forms of abuse that we go through with the women are, like, emotional abuse, social abuse, financial abuse, physical abuse, jealousy, intimidation. So we go through, we unpack it, sexual violence. What else? There's a range of, like, a range of different things that we go through, the different forms of abuse with the women, and we just sit down and just unpack it together in a culturally safe way.
Because I think, like, for myself, I don't know how to sort of say it. Yeah, because I don't think I would have understood what, like, those many different types of forms, those as sort of abuse, because I guess me just, I guess, growing up in a household full of men as well, thinking that, like, the only abuse would be just sort of physical, like, none of those others would be sort of categorised within sort of that box, that circle of sort of, like, the abuse that women go through as well.
Yeah, definitely. Like, we really find that, like, the women just open up and just, we do it in a way, like I said, that's culturally safe. So we actually play video, like little video skits. So what do you call that? Like a video where you can't think of the word, where you act out like like a skit.
Like a skit?
Yeah.
Oh, yep.
So we have us acting out.
Like scenes and stuff and skits. Yeah. Oh, yeah, cool. Yeah.
With different perpetrators. So it's Maori women acting out, say, emotional abuse, social abuse, and then we get to sit down in that culturally safe way and yarn about it, and but just to see the realisation from the women, like, we've just had really good feedback. Like, we do pre and post evaluations, like surveys after our workshops, and we've found since 2017 that women have been growing, like, from 50% or just under 50% in their forms of abuse, like their knowledge of forms of abuse, to, like, over 90%, to nearly 100%. So they're growing in what they're learning, and just being able to put a finger on it for them. Like,
definitely.
Being in the room when a woman has that realisation and that light bulb moment of what these things are, because, unfortunately...
Because, like you said, because we're sadly, you know, in a lot of our communities, we're so entrenched in sort of our violence, whether that's because of drugs, alcohol, trauma, or just because, you know, we have bad people in our communities that are our family members, it sort of becomes normal. And like I was saying, not sort of knowing which sort of things are actually a form of abuse and stuff as well.
Yeah, I think for me, as an Aboriginal woman, and as a prevention organisation, it's really important to understand where violence comes from and to instil that back in our women. So it's not a part of our culture. It was never a part of our culture. It wasn't our way of lifestyle for our people. You know, violence was very regulated in our pre-colonisation, like before, you know, non-Indigenous people came here. We had a way that we dealt with violence, you know, that we had a law system, you know, had violence very regulated and respect, you know, and just in terms of, like, gendered violence that you see from the impacts of colonisation, and you see how that's impacted our mob and our men. You know, we don't try and demonise our men in any way. We really want to, because we, you know... it's so important for us to understand where violence comes from. So, that's important for the women to know as well. Like,
Definitely, of course, because I don't know, yeah, like it's sort of not wanting to, like you said, like, you know, you don't want to sort of portray black men as sort of that's just right. that there as well. I guess then what is sort of the avenue, obviously use it solely and wholly, you know, to support Aboriginal women in that as well within that space?
Yeah, we'd love to have a strong men talking one day, so we'd love to have, you know, Aboriginal men facilitate or Torres Strait Islander men being able to facilitate the conversation for men. But at the moment, because it's a bunch of women sort of leading it, and that's who's sort of coming around at the moment to see the vision sort of prosper and eventuate, that's why it's strong women talking. But we really believe in a holistic approach, so it's not just about educating women, but hopefully women can go home and have those yarns with their husbands and partners, you know, about what it looks like to live healthy, happy lives, relationships. So one of the things that I've been proud to be a part of was Our Watch, which is a national prevention organisation. They're non-Indigenous mob. I was on their one of their advisory group members for their Changing the Picture resource, which was a resource for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander for violence against Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women and children. So we looked at what were the drivers of violence. So being a prevention organisation, that's really important to have that understanding and knowledge of what those drivers are. So like you mentioned before, like, you know, we see alcohol, drugs, homelessness, poverty, you know, our mob come into these, all these things come into play because of the impacts of colonisation. But we understand and evidence shows that these are triggers along the way for violence, and they're not necessarily the drivers. So Changing the Picture kind of looked at the intersectional approach of violence and what were the key drivers of violence, and it looked at the impacts of colonization on our mob, the impacts of colonization on non-Indigenous. So that looked at like privilege and you know, all the systemic sort of structures that are set up now that impact our mob in a negative way. And then it also looked at the gendered factors of violence against women. Yeah, so some of the, issues that we have to face as not only being a woman in this country, but also being an Aboriginal woman, like a black woman in this country, what does that mean?
Definitely. And pull me up if I'm sort of talking out of school, but is it also about changing sort of that narrative of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women in this, in our society, as just being victims as well? Is that what the organisation does? Like, well, I guess when you look at media, they portray black men as sort of, you know, the harbingers of sort of, you know, crime and all these bad things within our communities. And then they portray black women as sort of the victims of you know, the violence that we perpetrate in our communities. Well, so it sort of changed that narrative as well. And
it totally does. Like, our vision is educate, equip and empower. And so that's not just within the framework, and we run on an Aboriginal cultural framework, so it's not just for women in community and the way that we teach the women how to, like, about violence and about abuse, but it's also the way that we work as an organisation. So being able to employ black caterers, being able to employ black-owned, you know, business, local small business in community. So, yeah, definitely flipping the script on the narrative for how, you know, like, a lot of the times when I do sit at the table for domestic violence stuff, settings, whether it's state, federal, community level, a lot of the times, you know, you might only be the one black voice. There are amazing organizations, and I do want to acknowledge the work of my aunties, you know, before we've also got Harrison. It's a married name, so, you know, Murray Sisters. So there's also amazing organisations that have been around. There's Murray Gunya that are looking at, like, Aboriginal healing, over at Woodridge, they're the two like main domestic violence services within the greater Brisbane region.
Definitely.
And
because, you know, domestic violence doesn't have sort of a nationality or a colour as well. Maybe it's a silly question, but I guess it doesn't come as a surprise when you're sort of in these spaces. You might be only, you know, sort of black woman within those spaces and out there, but sort of to hear other non-Aboriginal women sort of speak of this as well.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the time it's in the domestic violence space and in the non-Indigenous space, it's looked at through a really patriarchal lens. So it's through that real feminist, white feminist lens. I think Strong Women Talking really look at it through an Aboriginal lens.
And challenges it, yeah.
Violence, yeah. So being able to be that voice at the table that says, hey, look, you know, these are the drivers you can't take into consideration. You can't just leave these other things out. You have to look at the impacts of colonisation and how that, you know, the violence, the racism, how it impacts us today.
When you first started talking about that, what was sort of the feedback from you? What was their reaction?
Yeah, a lot of the times, like I spoke last week at a domestic violence forum in for Domestic Violence Prevention Month out at Ipswich. So I was able to co-facilitate conversation, like a presentation there with Our Watch. So it was addressing non-Indigenous domestic violence organisations. It was deadly to have Murray people there that I knew, you know, from community there in the space and the setting, and they just loved hearing a different total
conversation. Sort of perspective on it, yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. And it's good co-presenting with a non-Indigenous person that can actually share, you know, from the that was as a part of the Change the Picture resource. That's what we were basically presenting, and that was great just to be able to share that and just to see like the reaction you get. Some of it's mixed, you know, but it's very positive. I think the gap in servicing is our mob. A lot of our women aren't comfortable to go into these non-Indigenous organisations, you know. So
fear of getting children taken away, fear of sort of
so we have
prostitution and all this other stuff.
Right.
Yeah,
like, you know, why we have to look at underreporting. Why don't our women feel safe to report? Because our men and our women get locked up. Our sisters inside do a lot of work in that space around our women getting locked up that have been victims of violence. But getting locked up, you know, calling the police. So I think, yeah, we have to look at and be mindful. So it's not starting the conversation. Obviously, there's amazing people that are already having these conversations. But as a young Aboriginal woman coming up in this space, just being able to add to that voice.
And then also, you know, the majority of times it's there's children that are sort of witnessing these things as well. What sort of, how do you sort of add that conversation to the mothers to sort of address that to the kids as well?
Yeah, definitely. Look, we've got, so as I said, we educate on the forms of abuse and the cycle of violence. We also educate, so we have a module around what is trauma. So we try and help the women understand what trauma looks like in a practical sense and how does trauma impact our children. So one of the things we do is we look at the warning signs or trigger signs. So for some women, they wouldn't even know what that word trigger is or what it means. You know, having conversations about what does it look like for your child who's experienced. So for a lot of women, it's really eye-opening because they haven't actually had the time being in a violent situation. You know, it's really flight, like survival mode. So they're in like flight, fight or fight mode. And they don't have that time to sit down and actually think about the impact it's having on their children. You know, like one of the women that has been in a workshop has said, you know, when we've gone through what are some of the signs of a young child, I think, you know, primary school aged, impacted by trauma. And one was like stomach knots, and, you know, so cramps in the tummy. And that was a really, you know, amazing moment for her because she realised that her child had suffered from tummy pain all the way through primary school. Like every day they would go to school would be tummy pain, like, oh, I'm getting tummy pain as soon as they'd go in, like sore belly. And just for her to realise that, wow, the trauma, what happens to the body is the tummy, the belly actually
tightens or twists.
Tightens or twists, and that's a coping mechanism for your body to survive. And just we talk about, you know, so we just role play. We have like little sponge toys, and we get the woman to like say, okay, what does the heart do? So we get the heart to like pump, you know, just so that, and then women understand, oh, wow, well, my palms are sweaty, you know, like for example, it might be the time of the day when he's coming home, she's getting anxious that she's got to have a meal on the table. She knows that, oh, you know, just that whole feeling of walking on eggshells, she's got to have a meal on the table, and she's starting to, all these things are happening to her, but she doesn't actually have time to really sit back and realise what's going on with her. So it's helping the women to learn about their body, how to read their body and their children, and then what they can do. So we're trauma informed. So when we talk about violence, obviously women can get triggered. We explain to women, you know, this is like, it's a really safe space. That's my little baby there, you can hear. Little Ivy girl in the background. And yeah, so we have different sorts of things for the women to be able to regulate, to bring their heartbeat back to a regular pace. So we have things like sand play, we have bean bags, a lot of sensory stuff in the room. Yeah, it's a deadly. For any sisters out there.
How can I get in contact with you?
Yeah, so the email address is strongwomantalking@outlook.com, but it's it's strongwomantalking@outlook.com.
And you just have a Facebook page?
We do, Strong Woman Talking, and we have a website, strongwomantalking.org.
Deadly. And so this art exhibition that's coming up tomorrow, the art within that as well has been created by some of the women that's involved in the program and some of the deadly work
she's
done.
We've got four Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander artists, one Torres Strait Islander artist and three Aboriginal artists. And three of those women are actually survivors of violence and are overcomers, and they've got beautiful, beautiful artworks. That's little baby Ivy again. Yeah, so they've got amazing artwork. So on our brochure, if you go on our page, we have artworks there. I'll just get up the page. So the artwork on the brochure or flyer is the featured artwork is by Safina Stewart. So she's one of our artists, resident artists that'll be displayed. So Safina Stewart is a Wathathi, and she comes from, I think I'm pronouncing that right, Wathathi country, and Marburg Island. I hope I pronounced that right. Apologies if I didn't. We've also got Jasmine Roberts, who's also a Waka Waka descendant. Sharon Malone, who is Kuku Yalunji, Waka Waka, Kawa and Gubbi Gubbi woman. And also Stevie O'Chin, who's Gubbi Gubbi and Kawa nations. Yeah, so great array of artworks. Really blessed for the women to contribute their artworks and to support the cause this Domestic Violence Prevention Month, and their artwork will be on sale as well, so that will go straight back, 100% of the sales will go straight back into their pockets, because we want to just, like I said, empower our women.
And so this month is Domestic Violence Prevention Month as well?
Yeah, only in Queensland, only so Queensland state government. This event isn't funded. So, unfortunately, I had Sorry Business at the time that they put out the tender for the this event, so I wasn't able to write a submission. So we're
self-funded.
Blessed to, a lot of, we are a self-funded organisation pretty much, but I would like to give a shout-out to our partners who are supporting our event. So Wesley Mission Queensland, who Strong Women Talking have an amazing relationship with, a real, you know, really good relationship with. They have sponsored our site. They also, we also work in partnership with them. They give us our workshop space and our space, office space to work out of. We're also sponsored by Speak Out, which is run by Sharon Malone, Common Grace as well, and yeah.
That's deadly, sis. And is there anything else that we should touch on as well with some of the deadly work that you are continuing to do as well?
Yeah, I would like to just share about our, we have a reconciliation morning tea coming up. Sponsored by Queensland Government, that's it. That will be on the Friday, this coming Friday, which is the 31st of May. That will be out of 930 Gympie Road, Chermside. Again, in partnership with Wesley Mission Queensland. And
what time again, is it?
That will be from 10 a.m. till 12.
10 a.m. till 12, okay, cool.
Yeah, till 12 p.m. So we'll have the theme this year, I think, is Speaking the Truth. And I'll have to have a look. Reconciliation Week, Queensland Reconciliation Week. I'll just get it up. But we'll have local elders coming and sharing, grounded in truth, walking together with courage. That's the theme for this National Reconciliation Week. So we'll have elders coming in and sharing what it was like living under the Act. So we've invited like a lot of non-Indigenous, just all community event. Everyone's welcome, anyone and everyone. So if you want to come and hear what it was like for our elders living in Queensland at the time under the White Australia Policy Act, then come along and hear some amazing stories of resilience and strength, from our elders. We'll also have some non-Indigenous people share about the partnerships, ways in which they're working with our mob and really, you know, genuine, respectful,
Definitely. So, yeah, just for our listeners, the art exhibition for Strong Women Talking is tomorrow at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at 140 Ann Street, Brisbane. So that's in the city?
Yes.
At Wesley House.
Yes. It is it's 100 places and they're pretty much nearly full.
Okay, ready? Yep, so booking.
So if you go onto strongwomantalking.org under the events tab, there's a little link there. And if you can register your interest with your name, and how you heard about it.
Deadly.
That would be good.
But then also head to Facebook as well and go to Strong Women Talking. I like their page and definitely support how the Deadly Work Sono and all these other Deadly Sisters are doing in the community as well to, you know, prevent, you know, violence against women or, you know, to sort of educate the sisters on, you know, the triggers or where they can sort of get out early or, you know, sort of make that decision themselves in terms of that as well. And then hopefully, you know, so the black men sort of follow this page and look at, you know, the deadly work that they're doing and how we can sort of prevent ourselves from, you know, continuing, you know, our violence or, you know, hopefully we can, like Sis said before, hopefully there's sort of somebody starts up Strong Men Talking or something like that there.
We can
like, we'd love this to conversation.
Love to have that. In the future, we definitely want to be able to create that space for our men as well to feel like they can come and have a safe space of their own. Unfortunately, it's the only reason we don't have it is just because of lack of facilitators. But, if there's any deadly brothers out there listening today that have a deadly program out there of healing for our men, definitely hit us up on Facebook or via email, strongwomantalking@outlook.com. And I also just want to really reiterate too, which I didn't really touch on, we do operate under an Aboriginal framework. So we go back to, and we acknowledge that, you know, our mob and our people really need that our ways to be able to heal. So we have that framework. So we look at ceremony. We incorporate ceremony in our healing journey. Ceremony, language, law. So we look at all that.
How important are those sort of aspects of our identity? How important are those things, you know, to our mob when you're creating these circles for healing?
They're pivotal. We can't go forward unless our mob are coming back to our cultural practices. And I think that's what I love. Like, so at the start of each healing journey, so we get the women, we partner with Kabingo, which is another local Aboriginal organisation out Zilmia Way. So we partner with them to use their buses. Unfortunately, we weren't approved for funding with the when we applied for a bus recently. So, but we partner with local places to use their buses. Kabingo is one of them. We're also partnering with Kabara Aboriginal Kindy out there at Zilmia as well, which will be bringing the women in on a bus. Some of our women in on the bus on the night for the art exhibition. But, getting back to that. So we, at the start of each healing journey, we have the women come out on country. We have elders come and meet them by the water. So we do like a cleansing ceremony at first in the water on Turrbal country out there. On Wara is, or you know, what, like one of the places out on Turrbal country. Shorncliffe is the English language name there. But we take the women out there and we go and do cleansing. The elders come. We have amazing Dudley elders from community that volunteer their time, come speak over the woman, affirm the women. Lift them, encourage them, and then we do a commitment ceremony with ochre and at the top of the cliff. It's a beautiful, amazing day. And we have Sister Natasia as well. I'd like to give Sister Natasia Georgetown a shout-out. She does all our majority of our catering. And also this at the art exhibition we'll have Yarrika Bales and the Black Card Mob as well. Black Card catering the event.
Solid. Now, big thanks, sis, for joining us on the program this morning, and definitely for the very important work that you do, not just as this organization, but, you know, just being a black strong woman in our community as well. A big thanks for that, and we'd definitely love to have you back on the program, sis.
No worries, Dudley, anytime.